right, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of Thursday, October 18th, 2012. May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, students from Edgewood are going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight. Thank you very much. All right. Next up is the adoption of the agenda. As you'll notice, there's an addendum with multiple items on it tonight.
I move to adopt the agenda. An addendum.
We have one correction on page under substitute home instruction. It says 2011-12. It should be 2012-13.
What page is it on?
It'd be on page 5. It'd be under this with the personnel.
Okay. Hold on one second. I lost my gun. I got it. Okay. Was there other
I mostly accept them with the correction.
Okay, move in second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the Employee of the Month. I have it right here.
I have it right here. Do I do it all? This is my first one.
You do it.
It's exciting.
All right. That's very exciting.
Okay, so it's my pleasure to introduce Wendy Grimm, who is the Employee of the Month. You want to come on up here, Wendy? And I'm going to start by just reading some comments that Wendy's peers have said about her and why she's received this award. Wendy is it's kind of embarrassing to say I don't have it right in front of you. Sorry. Wendy is a wonderful person to work with and to see each day. She will always do whatever is needed to support the district employees with their human resource needs. A lot of the time, Wendy is the first person who a potential candidate comes in to see or has contact with. She's extremely helpful, precise, welcoming to all those potential employees and new hires. Wendy is willing to assist wherever she is needed. I have never seen her look distressed, annoyed, or upset by any work that is put on her shoulders. Her contribution to the Human Resources Department and to the board office is valuable, and she certainly deserves this special recognition.
Thank you. All right, I need a motion then to approve Wendy Grimm as the September 2012 Employee of the Month, please.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Moved in second. Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee. Yes. Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. All right, next up, we have a presentation by the Edgewood fourth grade students. They'll be talking about the Covey habits and focusing on how they use them to influence their learning at school. Mr. Hughes?
Just a second, they're very nervous, so I told them to think of you guys if I'm having funny faces on.
You probably don't have to, you don't have to imagine too hard, right?
Hey, you said that. Well, first of all, thank you guys for having us this evening. It's been a pleasure getting to know these students over the last 2 or 3 months. I've got some other staff that are here with me that I'd like to quickly introduce before I let the students share some of the learning. As you mentioned, we've been working on the 7 Covey habits. It's part of just who they are as a person and things that they do that definitely impacts the learning. So Ms. Hobbs, I'd like to introduce you first, if you can come forward. For those who don't know her, she's our guidance counselor at Edgewood, a very integral part of not only the learning, but the social-emotional development of all these kiddos, and does a phenomenal job. And she's going to just present who's here with us. And then also we have our fourth grade team members back here and music. Just want to say thank you guys for all that you do and support as well. So Ms. Hobbs, I'll turn it over to you.
Awesome. Well, we are so excited to have this opportunity to share what we're learning.
Your actors and actresses tonight are Mark Frenberg, Ryan Barlow, Matthew Spitznagel, Alden Prohaska, Avery Bouch, Alexis Grevy, Hannah Graham, and Katie Krueger. So they're going to do two different things for you, right, guys? Are the girls going first or the guys? The guys, all right. So without further ado, gentlemen, take it away.
We will be doing a skit for you of Cubby Habit Number 1, Be Proactive. My name is Mark and I will be playing video games.
My name is Ryan and I will be playing basketball.
My name is Alden and I will not be being proactive at first.
My name is Matthew and I will be scaring my sisters.
Hello, Mark. I'm bored. Can you think of something that I can do?
You want to play video games with me?
Nah, I'm kind of over that. Hey, Ryan. I'm bored. Can you think of something for me to play?
You want
to
play some basketball?
Nah, I'm too boring. Hey, Matthew, I'm bored. Can you think of something for me to do?
Want to scare my sisters with me?
Nah, too boring. I'm just going to go home. Hey, Mom, I found my old football. I'm going to go get my friends. Hey, guys, want to play some football?
Sure.
Touchdown!
Because he kept on asking for people to do, for people for something to do, but he kept on saying it was too boring. But then he was proactive because he made his own fun by finding his old football and playing it and playing the game with his friends.
Girls, come on down. Words, you read about these words, the coolest thing is what you saw here, and we thought that would be nice to be able to present not only in front of their family, but also with you guys at the Board of Education, to know that, you know, learning is so impactful, but when you teach the whole child and what they do and the impact that they have, thinking of their age, 9 and 10 year olds, to be able to just really think about that, not only be leaders themselves, really helps enable the learning. So thank you again, boys and girls, and thank you again for having us.
Thank you very much. That's going to be the best presentation we had tonight.
I don't know. The old kids are okay, too. Right?
Well, the old kids are good. Yeah. But if they're going to do a skit, that'll make it hurt.
On your toes, guys. And certainly, families, you're welcome to stay, but I'm sure it won't be cutting edge there for you. So. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. All right, next up we have our K-4 principals. We'll be highlighting the K-4 transition to the Common Core and the work that they're currently doing.
Just
got to
pull this up here.
I'll kind of, if I can segue for them while they're getting set up. As you know, we've had a large emphasis this year in preparing for the Common Core and making not only a shift with our actual curriculum, but also our instructional practices, and that's kind of the charge of this school year, is to embed our teachers in that process of moving over to the Common Core as it's right around the corner for implementation. Each school building is responsible for producing a work plan, and then each one of our in-service days, at late starts and professional development days, their agendas are driven off their work plan. So this evening, the K-4 principals actually did a common work plan, and we're doing a lot of K-4 work together. So they're going to step you through kind of their process in developing their work plan and where they are with that at this time.
To get us started, as Ms. Mankins mentioned, one of the things that's while we're waiting on that, the thing I want to share is, there's a lot of critical work we do with non-native kids, but the work that we do as adults, and the thing we want to share with you tonight is the work we're doing with the adults that's going to impact the children. And if you take a look at this diagram, there's four stages. The first stage is identifying the critical needs. Among all of our elementaries, we all have individual needs, but one of the things you're going to hear this evening is through the K-4 principals, we share a lot of our kids with the transient population. We think it's imperative of us to make sure that there's a common experience with the level of rigor and the expectations that kids receive with the Common Core in regards to the language arts as well as the math. So we have done and begun the process of identifying the critical needs to be able to shift us into, you're going to hear this evening, a development of our focus plan and what that's going to entail as we move through this year, and not only shifting us as instructional leaders, but also our staff to be able to be proactive in what they do to impact the learning of the children. If you go down here to stage three, it's implement and monitor a focus plan. You're also going to hear about how we plan to not only convey this to you guys here as our message, but also to the staff to ultimately impact the kids, and then what we're going to be doing to monitor that as a way of following up. And then you'll see stage four of here, evaluating the improvement process. For us, it is improvement. We're always trying to get better, and hopefully tonight, afterwards, you'll feel with knowing how we're going to continue to do that. And looking at that, when you think of strategic, the idea is you got to have that plan. Going back to that first slide, the first one you see as instructional leader, we think it's imperative of us as a building level principal to be able to lead that. Have the support of our district administrators above us, but make sure that we understand it thoroughly enough to be able to take that and lead it among our staff and be able to be that front runner for them. We want to take the team approach. We know that collective efficacy is critical and that everyone needs to have a voice and be a part of that. We're ultimately using data to inform our instruction. There was kind of a hiccup for us with some of the data released from the State Department, so we're going on some in-house data now that we have the state to be able to work on that. From that, we want to look at the target PD, which you're going to hear a little bit about this evening as well, about what are we going to do based on the data that we're using to drive with the instruction, and then ultimately the students win. And it's interesting, you're going to see it's at the bottom, but we always know that the students are at the top, but this is the plan of how we're going to do it.
as instructional leaders, it's been a huge shift for the last 35 years. We're no longer managers as building principals. We now are coaches, and we're teachers of the teachers. You want to add the other? Okay. We have the OTES, which is the Ohio Teacher Evaluation System that we have each been credentialed in. That calls for us, too, to be coaches and go in and model for the staff the expectations for their day. The response to intervention, we meet each week with different grade levels to talk about students and their individual progress towards their own goals and towards the building goals. We look at the district and building data to set those goals along with the value-added piece. We have value-added teams. We have district and building data teams to review that. The content areas and the Common Core, we too have to be familiar with that and be able to lead the staff in the understanding of the shift to the Common Core curriculum in math and language arts, and then the content areas as well, science and social studies.
This is mine, so someone needs a clicker.
I will. As we, Joe talked a little bit about, we are taking a team approach, which is always great because we have five elementary buildings, so it helps us to work together and be on the same page. Certainly, we want to work not only with our elementaries, but K through 12 as a team. We have the support of our superintendent, our assistant superintendent, as part of our team. We include our curriculum and assessment folks to give their input and to bring us kind of all together. Staff development coaches. We now have one at each elementary school, and they kind of help coach our teachers and work with us on PD. Certainly our department chairs. Every school has department chairs in each academic area. Our teachers are maybe the biggest part because their input and their buy-in is what really makes this all work as a team. We are not above them or below them. We are all working together for the same common cause. So we use staff meetings, professional learning communities. We have waiver days. We spend the day on waiver days doing professional development. Certainly our two-hour delays that we have throughout the year is set aside for professional development and working together, again, as a team to hit our common goals. And that really is the big goal, PD alignment, K through 12, in every building throughout the district. So that's our team approach, and I think we're all enjoying it quite a bit.
We all know that data has to drive what we do, and we have to make informed decisions so that we're being as precise, using our resources wisely, and also doing what's best for our students. First of all, data, performance data. You know, we collect data at each grade level. We've set norms, and we have information that's going to guide our instruction and also make decisions how we use resources within each building. The value-added data just came out. We are currently getting ready to work with our teams, vertical teams, and our horizontal grade level teams to make sure that we're hitting those targets and that we're really getting the teachers to understand what does this new data mean, because this is brand new for the teachers. You know, this is their first year to be rated. So we want to make sure this transition is smooth, they understand it, and also what do we need to do to raise that bar higher for our teachers, because they want the best too. Specific, subject-specific work plans, those are what we're currently working on. Our teachers are going to be involved in them. And we also have year-long PD calendar, which will be shared next. Those we've used, for example, at some of our meetings, we surveyed our teacher. What is it that you need to get to understand Common Core and also to make you a better teacher in reading language arts? After we surveyed them, we developed a plan for the school year, and then as we do each training, we'll have exit slips. Our staff surveys and exit slips give us the most powerful data to help our teachers be prepared. And all of the things, you know, intertwine with each other because we want to make sure that our data, we're collecting the right data and we're using it properly. That we're not over-testing kids, but we're also making strong instructional decisions that are supporting our student learning success.
Okay, and now we're going to talk a little bit about targeted PD for staff. Before I do that, I just want to kind of touch a little bit on the other items that are in your folder. And you'll notice, we also included, and Missy touched upon this, but our work plans. We went ahead and included all four work plans for you, just so you can take a look at them. But it'll be interesting when you look at them. I'm kind of curious if you would be able to pick out which ones were kind of our first attempts, and then maybe which ones we've kind of, in working with Diane and kind of talking about some expectations, which one is a little more developed. Can you kind of maybe pick out, hopefully, which one's a little more developed? I'm hoping. Yeah, Diane can cheat. She can help us a little bit. Well, hopefully you can kind of look at maybe the language arts and kind of see that we've taken that. And it's been a learning process for us. So when you talk about targeted PD for staff, we are staff, and we also needed that targeted PD. And we're getting that from Diane and from Andy, and they're helping us develop work plans. It's not that work plans were new in Marysville, but I think this focused attempt at really being able to go in and give you specific details so that when a parent comes in and looks at our work plan, we can say, okay, yes, we've done this step and this step. This is where we are in the process. This is going to be the ultimate goal. So you're getting them all. The next time we come back, hopefully we'll bring back the math, the science, the social studies, and we'll talk to you just a little more in depth about how we're progressing and what our work plan looks like in those areas. So that's definitely been a work in progress for us. In terms of the Common Core, we do have a piece in that language arts work plan, and also it will be in our math. To really get in, we started basically with a needs assessment. We got with the staff, we kind of looked at what's their understanding, and then where are we going to go from there. So we ended up developing our professional development calendar with the curriculum support from that. And I also gave you just a copy of that, the professional development calendar, so you can kind of get an idea of how we're utilizing the time that we have. We always say there's not enough time, and there's not. But I feel like for the first time this, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong because I'm new in this role, but we're really trying to utilize every minute that we have with the teachers to make it very focused. They know what's coming. I also included in there just kind of a sample of one of our planning agenda meetings. We are getting more focused. You know, we're setting goals. And again, it's not that we didn't do this before. I think we're just doing a better job of it this year, you know, with Diane's support and Andy's support. So anyway, just to give you a kind of an idea of where that's going. We're looking at Common Core, obviously. We're looking at best practice teaching strategies. We're really going to focus hard this year on re-energizing ourselves with the Literacy Collaborative Framework, which is a balanced literacy framework. So that's going to be a big part of our work this year. Specific academic content. We're also, a lot of the teachers took a class over the summer, the formative instructional practices. You know, how are we giving that formative feedback to kids? Are we being specific in our language when we're talking to kids? So we're talking to our teachers and having those conversations. We're developing common assessments. This is something that's been in the works. Now we're just going back again and kind of refining those to make sure that, you know, they are giving us, that the assessments are giving us the information that we need to better inform our instruction. Again, develop that targeted PD for all staff. A big focus for us this year as well is to also include our special ed staff. Typically, they are so pulled because, you know, they have their needs in terms of the content area and the things that they have to get covered, but we're also making sure that they're included in the PD for all of our staff so that we have that cohesion between it's not special ed, it's not regular ed. We want it all. All the kids belong to all of us. The differentiated instruction, that kind of goes back to meeting the needs of all of our kids. And that's the bottom line for all of this. So, anyway. Thank you.
To kind of sum that up, so a lot was thrown at you in looking at our plan. We thought that it was in important to really look at the big picture for all of you, for us to know that how we're using our collective efficacy along with curriculum to make us better, to make our teachers better, which ultimately is going to impact kids. And as we continue to come back to these board meetings and share with you throughout the year, we plan on getting into those specific work plans that you have copies in front of you and show you the transparency of the work we're doing, because what's hard is you can plan out a year, but as we mentioned with teachers and surveys, it's hard to understand where our teachers are in the process. So allowing us to really take the needs from the teachers and implementing our work plan at the Common Core, that's really going to allow us to drive what's best for them, which we know what's best for them is going to be best for kids. So when you see this slide here, it just reiterates those four points we discussed with the instructional leadership, the team approach, the data to inform everything we do, the targeted PD, and we thought it's important that, you know, we had the students win at the beginning of the slide at the bottom, the front and center here, because we know that all this work is going to impact everything we do, you know, and something for the audience as well. With the data coming out, going to be excellent with distinction again as a district, so we know that we're doing the right work. We're doing more with less, and I think that that is important for us as we continue to move through these challenges that are in front of us with everything that is coming at us. So thank you for all you do, and any questions?
Actually, I do.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, you finished your need assessment for all of your teachers. Is that correct? Is that built into this plan for your K-4 teachers?
For the literacy, we have done the needs assessment.
Yes.
Of looking through the literacy cloud framework that we're using, you know, throughout K-6, mm-hmm. or really more K-4. We're going to be doing that same structure with math. We have not done that as of today. Where we're going to get a chance to give that same survey to the teachers to find out where they are in the process, what their needs are, because it's important for us, because it's easy for us to tell them.
Sure.
But a lot of times then that need assessment's not truly accurate based on their needs if we do it.
So on the flip side of that, then how do you know, just as an instructional leader, how do you know when a teacher has all the knowledge they need to implement the new curriculum?
One of the big pieces you're going to hear more and more about is the Ohio Teacher Evaluation System. Right now, we are currently piloting that in all of our buildings with selected staff. That process mirrors so much when you're looking at an accomplished teacher, mm-hmm. that they have to embed these components. So when you think of it in an evaluative role, is one objective way where teachers know exactly what the expectations are, like we talk about with kids, through these pilot components where we're constantly sharing with all the staff, that's going to be one way. Mm-hmm. The other piece is through the assessments that they're creating. You heard about the FIP, the formative instructional practice. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things you're going to hear from us is that target clarity. Can kids articulate what they're learning? Mm-hmm. Because if teachers are doing it in a way, you can go up to any kid where you guys can walk in the classroom and they can explain that. Here's what we're learning, why we're learning it. That fits with the Common Core. The other piece is the formative, that you're seeing teachers constantly assessing kids and not waiting for an OAA or waiting for an in-class assessment, or we refer to them as summit. We try to get away from the technical language, but you know, that's the big picture of how we're going to assess that. It's kind of comprehensive, but as we're in those classrooms, we're also doing walkthroughs, mm-hmm. and our walkthroughs, K-12, if to make you aware as well, is target clarity, looking, can kids articulate targets, as well as formative instructional practices. Our teachers continually looking and monitoring kids, which goes to everything that we present.
And we changed this from a bulleted list to a circular, because it never ends. You just keep working, and you keep finding new areas to refine.
It's,
and new things.
It's a life cycle.
It is. It is. It's
always comes back to where to start. Mm-hmm. And I think for teachers, as we get new teachers coming in, you know, the important thing for us is that everyone has access. You heard special ed teachers, as well as K-4 classroom teachers, regular ed or reading intervention specialists, as well as principals. I think all of us being together is going to raise that bar, because being new in 3 months, I'm hearing the history, that's not been the way it's always been. Mm-hmm. So doing that now and kind of refining it, even though there's been components, is really going to me, raise the bar as well.
In addition to that, I'm sorry.
If you want to come watch us in one of our sessions, yeah. We're planning this weekend. We're doing a Sunday session, because with all the new things coming on, it's really important. And I think the thing I appreciate about my colleagues is the fact that we're doing things differently and outside the box, and we're spending time to try and get ahead, because we know how hard our teachers work. and we want to be as prepared as possible and try and be a step ahead so we can really facilitate and, you know, make sure that we are providing the right thing. And if we're not, we have to relook at it. But, you know, we're all, like I said, if you want to come by Sunday afternoon, we'll be in Northwood.
To build on that, is today at our admin council, for example, we were looking at what we want as a pacing of curriculum that's going to infuse those Common Core, where we're going to be looking at components with essential questions, big ideas. Those are going to be those teaching points that as we're in those classrooms, not just on an evaluation cycle, but on that day-to-day, we're going to be seeing that. And that's kind of hard to explain, but it's more of raising that bar so we all know what we're looking for. All mean not just us as principals, but our teachers as well as our kids. And then eventually those shifts are going to occur.
But I think we're also doing things, for example, exit tickets.
I was going to ask you, what is an exit ticket?
An exit ticket. For example, when we're finished with our professional development time tomorrow, we'll have very specific questions that we'll ask the teachers to respond to. What was some new learning that you, obtained today? How is this going to impact your classroom, you know, when you take this back? So it's very specific, and then we go back and we analyze that to see. And it's also conversations. I think with us being in the classrooms even more, I think, than we've ever been, it's also having those conversations with teachers. Talk to me about, you know, this type of, you know,
what
have
you
tried
this
strategy?
About?
Yeah, exactly.
To help your teachers.
So, right. So I think we're trying to model using some of those formative assessments so that then when teachers go back to their classrooms, they realize, you know, a formative assessment, it doesn't have to be that paper pencil, even though an exit ticket is, but it's, you know, sometimes thumbs up, thumbs down, or it's putting, you know, graphing your knowledge on a particular topic or that type of thing. So I think we're trying to approach it in lots of different ways, you know, to get that feedback, because you're right, we have to know, are they taking this in?
Right.
Where do we need to go from there?
And we're modeling for them what we want to see them model with their kids.
Right.
And so that's best practice. It doesn't matter who does it or where it comes from. Best practice and good teaching is best practice and good teaching. So.
Is anybody have another questions? Because I actually have another one, but I want to make sure I don't step on anybody else's toes. I was kind of curious. You guys collaborate quite a bit as principals together and in getting your work plan. But how does that work for our teachers? I mean, you know, your third grade teachers, do they talk to your third grade teachers? And how does that work?
Looking at when we talked about those PD calendars you see there
right.
with in-service days and waiver days, one of the big things that our teachers say on those exit tickets
yes.
is they want time together at grade levels, but also they want that vertical articulation, so the grade level above and grade level below, because that's the biggest thing is we can talk a lot about this, but our conversation has been shifting is, well, how's that impacting your teaching? You know, what are you changing in your day-to-day instruction that's impacting, or what are you taking away, whether it's something we present or collegial, and eventually want them to be able to do that, where in these in-service, these teachers are leading this PD. Now, granted, it's got to start with us first so they understand as part of that process, but eventually, our ultimate goal is to have them leading that, whether it's the department chairs, whether it's our staff development coaches, which they're starting to do now with staff meetings. So that way, then they're embedding and doing the work, not so much top-down where they're hearing the work.
Because we've got phenomenal people that are very knowledgeable, and we just need to all share and they can teach us as much as hopefully we are teaching them. So.
And I'll be honest, too, they're actually doing this outside of what we're requiring.
Right.
They're meeting as a kindergarten staff, mm-hmm. and they were talking about the Common Core and different lessons that they can do and sharing resources and ideas. Our first grade teams, those are the two off the top of my head that I know of for sure. But they're getting together on their own, meeting after school, and saying, okay, guys, you know, because they also realize, you know, it's not just one person or it's not just one building. We're all doing great work. We need to share it, and then that will make us even better.
Great. And how critical, I mean, because I've, you know, you always hear feedback from parents. You know, when we do our Prime Time Wednesdays, which in my opinion are critical, but, you know, it's kind of sometimes it can be a disruption to our parents' schedule. How critical is that time for you to get this work done?
It's actually very critical because we are literally using every minute with so many different initiatives and pressures. I'm sure you've heard of the third grade guarantee that's been out in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things that are being put on teachers that the more that we educate and train them, these 2 hours, even though it's 6 hours if you think in the big picture of those three Prime Time Wednesdays, that's 6 hours of focused time with them that they're able to get together, which is what you were saying, collectively, correct, be able to have that work, and then share out best practices and things they're doing, and that's just more time. So the other piece of the parent involvement, Diane has mentioned, you know, she wants us to be transparent, whether it's through the website or what we're doing and our plans, and I think that's also going to send a message to families as well to know that this work is not just us taking away from your kids, but it's work to help us that's going to better the work we do with your kids. And I think it's just a different way of thinking,
sure,
about it.
No, that's a fantastic message.
But that's a time to, like Joe said, to get grade levels together.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice we're also utilizing our staff meetings. And those are devoted. But on some occasions, staff meetings are for, in the past, housekeeping type of things. Go ahead, I'm sorry. But now we're using them for professional development. So we are using every minute that we are really able to do. But those staff meetings are building-based, where those prime times then afford us the opportunity to come together as an entire K-4 staff. And then we can break into grade levels or a primary and an intermediate.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is critical. And it's the teachers have been asking for it. It's like, when do you find time to do it? So we definitely appreciate that you guys were willing to give us that opportunity.
Absolutely.
All right. Was there any other questions besides me?
I just like to say, as a side note, Jeff, I think you came to our administrative retreat.
I did.
I certainly sit here with a smile on my face. It's kind of corny. I feel like their mom all of a sudden. Sorry. But with a sense of pride of how far they've come. I mean, we've given them the challenge to really take this and run with it. And they've gone above and beyond, and it's only October. So I'm certainly proud of the work all the principals are doing. Because I'm asking them to shift in a way they haven't had to shift. I told him sometimes shift happens, but we're in it together. And
it's
said shift. and it's good work. I'm super pleased.
You can definitely sense the excitement that you guys have for it.
It is exciting. It's exciting to develop it, and then it's exciting to share it with the staff and have them get into it, and then to watch them actually implement it in the classrooms. It's kind of.
And I think if we approach it from that energized perspective, because I'll be honest, there's a little bit of, there's so much coming at us right now. But I think if we can say, it's okay, and one of the things we've, and I know this was Andy's, it's like we're all in this together. And I think that's been the message. I can't tell you how many staff members commented on the fact that Diane and Andy were at the prime time and spoke to the staff. You know, they were so appreciative that they were willing to come and talk to them, give expectations, and kind of, it was, again, we're all in this together. It was an exciting feeling. So
biggest thing, last thing probably,
sorry,
is we're just all dragging in a meeting, or just like we worked hard and stuff, and we're sweating, and Diane comes in with her candy basket.
Sugar high, send them on. Right? Thank you all very much for your work. Is that paper going to get hot?
I'm going to let.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
There we go.
Hello.
No. No more mood lighting. I'm going to move this around a little bit. I'm going to do the resolutions for National Merit Scholars. Okay. So I need a motion to approve Lindsay Anderson as a National Merit semifinalist, please.
So
approved.
Second.
Moving second, Mr. Crispin.
Do you want to take the stand?
I wasn't
paying attention. Take the stand. You're not on. Sorry about that.
That's right.
I'm on trial.
Your questions will be forthcoming.
We're going to do them one at a time. So if you want to start with Lindsay, we'll do a resolution for each. And then at the end, we'd like to do a photo op with all the students and the board. And you.
Okay.
Okay.
So you want me to talk about the group first?
Sure. Could you talk to us about what it is to be a semifinalist? What does it mean to be a National Merit semifinalist, and how might a student receive that recognition?
I think the profound quote that was in the paper was, it's a real big deal. and that was confirmed again today. I mean, if you live in the high school world, you have national merit, semifinalists, finalists, and then scholarship. That's a big deal. And I was at a conference the last 2 days with, believe it or not, superintendent wannabes. And I was just there because there was free food. But anyways, there were, we were just talking about, you know, how you communicate information, how your district is doing. There are several districts that send out multi-page reports with OGT data, OAA data, also how many national merit semifinalists they have. And maybe we'll do that someday. But for now, we have a big record board in the front of our building that have the 39 winners thus far. What is the PSAT? It's the, for those of us a little bit older, for the ACT, the SAT, well, the PSAT is just the preliminary SAT test that's given in October to roughly 1.5 million students across the nation. They can be grades 9 through 12. Later on in the spring of be their junior year, we get a notification that so many students have made the first cut, which is 50,000. And then of that 50,000, 1.5 million down to 50,000 top
in the nation.
In the nation. 34,000 will just, they'll stop right there and they're commended students. The other 16,000 are national merit semifinalists.
In the nation.
In the nation. 1.5 million. Coast to coast. It's a big deal. So there's some other things that we do. Our counselors have to fill out an application. The next round, then, is do they become finalists? And roughly 90% of the 16,000 will become finalists. And then later in the spring, we'll learn if they've earned scholarships that are given out either by universities or corporations. Big-time money. It's good stuff. So 1.5 million down to 50,000. Down to 16,000, down to 15,000. Of that 15,000, about half of them will receive scholarships. Okay. So with me tonight is the record-setting bunch from the class of 2013, at least four or five of the five. We've never had this many before in our school's history, at least dating back to 1975. That's as far as our records go back as far as the PSAT. But pretty special. It's a big deal. It's brought a lot of notoriety to the high school and to our community. So congratulations to them. What I'd like to do is just have them stand up and introduce themselves. Tell us what your plans are. And we need to introduce your parents also. Because I think they have something to do with this. So why don't we start with MJ.
Okay, I'm MJ Richardson. I'm planning on going to college, which I'll be good at too, and I want to study either business or maybe some sort of engineering, like systems engineering, industrial engineering, kind of where you learn a little bit about each type of engineering and you manage the group and you kind of make things more efficient and lower costs. So that's what I want to study, and my dream would be able to go to Princeton, but we'll see how that goes. And my parents are Chris and Tracy. Chris.
I'm Lindsay. I'm not sure exactly where I want to go to school yet, but right now my topic is probably Boston College. I would study either journalism or international business. And my parents, this is my stepmom, Jeannie, and my dad, Rob. And then my mom, Karen, and my stepdad, and my grandma.
I'm Jonathan Merklin, and I think I might go to college. It's up in the air right now. But and then we'll see what I do when I get there. I'm trying to do something mathematics related. I think I might just major in pure mathematics, as boring as that might sound to many of you. I'd like to thank my parents, Jeff and Mary Beth Merklin, better known as Mom and Dad. Not Debbie, though. Yeah, that's about it.
I'm Jacob
major. So I'm working on it. These are my parents, Greg and Cheryl Beal, and my sister. Woo!
Okay, so there's a motion on the table to approve Lindsay as the National Merit Scholarship semifinalist. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Come up and get your... All right, next up, I need a motion to approve Jacob Beal as a, to honor Jacob Beal as a National Merit Scholarship semifinalist, please. Somebody.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Weir.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Mr. Beal. Okay, I need a motion to approve the resolution to honor James Johnstone as a National Merit Scholarship semifinalist. Man, I cannot get that off.
So moved. Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. And he is not here, so... Next up, I need a motion to approve the resolution to honor Jonathan Merklin as the National Merit Scholarship semifinalist, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, I need a motion now to approve the resolution to honor Michael Joseph Richardson as a National Merit Scholarship semifinalist, please.
I'm sorry.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. Motion carries.
You don't mind, would you guys come up here and we'd like to get your picture with the Board of Education. You can why don't you leave those on your seat.
You want to go all the way? Okay, we're going to take a quick recess to do this.